president and his wife. Holding for ransom or take their lives. Attack their embassy. They are our enemies. The president is smoking cigars. Anyone he does not like, he shoots or puts behind bars. Good day, Tom. All right, flick number three is Repo Man from 1984. You're listening to Watch This with Chris Earle here on WMFO in Medford. Black Flag in the background with a TV party. It was mostly a punk rock soundtrack, Repo Man. It was produced by Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, directed by a guy named Alex Cox. Other producers were Peter McCarthy, Gerald Olson, and Jonathan Wax, written by Alex Cox. This guy did Sid and Nancy, which is a great, great flick. He was also co-writer for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Terry Gilliam movie. And I guess he kind of did a sequel to Repo Man that came out a couple of years ago, which was Repo Chick, came out in 2009, went straight to video. He made it for like $200,000. So this guy is very into producing micro features, basically very low budget features given very little theatrical distribution. Not a direct sequel to Repo Man, Repo Chick was associated with it, and it came out in North America and United Kingdom in February 2011, but he made it in 2009. Anyway, Repo Man stars Emilio Estevez, Harry Dean Stanton, who just recently passed away at the age of 91. One of my favorite guys, a guy named Tracy Walter, who did that whole speech about the play The Shrimp. It was considered one of the best films of 1984, and it has achieved a cult status. The plot concerns a young punk rock enthusiast named Estevez. Well, not named Estevez, but it's Emilio Estevez. His name is Otto in the film, Otto Maddox. And his buddy, that is the Repo Man, is Harry Dean Stanton, who basically gives him a job as a repo man, so he repossesses all these cars. I was actually in Lowell, sleeping at my apartment one night, and these repo men, like, banged on the door. And I told them the car wasn't mine. They came to repossess the car, and of course, they had heard everything before. They wouldn't let me go back to sleep. I'm like, will you guys leave? I was like 24, I had a couple beers in me. I'm like, please leave me alone. I didn't open up the door for him. But anyway, Repo Men are pretty ruthless. This movie is a comedy and it's a sci-fi movie. It's got a 98% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's got a 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a comedy sci-fi crime movie. It's rated R, mostly for language, hour and 32 minutes. So Otto quits his supermarket job after slugging a coworker, and he's dumped by his girlfriend at a party, and he wanders the streets in frustration, is recruited by Harry Dean Stanton in the repossession of a car. After discovering his parents donated all his college fund to a televangelist, he joins the repo agency and becomes a repo man. During his training, he's introduced into the mercenary and paranoid world of the drivers, befriended by a UFO conspiracy theorist, who's Tracy Walter, and confronted by rival repo agents. It's really a clever, clever movie. It's the one movie people remember that all the branding is generic on it. So if he's eating peaches, it says peaches in a black and white label. If he goes to get a beer, it says beer on the label. If he's getting a drink, it says drink on the label. There's a Chevy Malibu that glows green while it's parked in the repo lot. No special effects were actually used. The car was completely coated with 3M reflective paint at the price of $600 per bucket. So a good portion, of the budget went to making that Chevy Malibu glow using 3M reflective paint. In the movie, Leela shows a photo of aliens to Otto. Some believe it's a plate of shrimp, but it's actually condoms filled with water, wearing grass shirts. The company that makes the Christmas tree air fresheners was one of the sponsors of the movie. And all the repo men except for Otto are named after beers. It's a great little cult movie. Worth seeing. One of my five flicks today. Suicidal Tendencies in the background. Let's listen to a little more of the soundtrack from Repo Man. Roger Ebert loved it. Said he saw Repo Man near the end of a busy stretch on the movie beat in 1984, 3 days during which he saw more and more relentlessly bad movies than during any period in his memory. Most of the bad movies were so cynically constructive, out of formula ideas for, and he said that watching them was an ordeal until Repo Man came along. He said it had no big stars, of course, at the time. Didn't cost much. It took chances. It was unconventional. It is funny, and it works. That was Roger Ebert from his January 1st, 1984 review of Repo Man. Circle Jerks actually show up as the nightclub band in the movie that they're dancing around to. And one of the great actors, great character actors of all time, Harry Dean Stanton, probably one of his best movies. Of course, he's in Alien and a whole bunch of other movies. Showed up in a Killers video a few years ago. And Emilio's got some great movies, I noticed, over the years. Frank Cotton, a couple weeks ago, picked two Emilio Estevez movies, Breakfast Club, as well as Judgment Night on his five flicks when he came in. Again, here's some of the soundtrack. It's Repo Man from 1984 here on Watch This with Chris Earle.
Travis. Before the appearance of Red, people didn't think twice about drinking and driving. Well, all that has changed now. More and more people are getting hip to the fact that friends don't let friends drink and drive. Choose a designated driver and have a safe and happy holiday season.
You've never seen an angel.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, I'm going to bring you up to flick number four. It's from 2014. It's a biography, musical drama, Love and Mercy.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Can I help you today?
I'd like to buy a car.
Hi, I'm Dr. Eugene Landy.
Do you know who this man is? Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Ah.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round.
We've all grew up in California. The brothers here, Dennis, Ryan, and Carl.
So I listen to those harmonies. I would teach them to my brothers, and we'd all sing. Listen to me. I'm going on and on. What about you, Melinda? Why don't you have a boyfriend?
He broke my heart.
He shouldn't have done that.
You hear the new Beatles? We can't let them get ahead of us. Got all kinds of new ideas, new sounds, new instruments. You think we could get a horse in here?
I'm picking up good vibrations.
We've played with everyone. Sinatra, Elvis,
you.
Blowing our minds.
If you want to continue to see him, you should know. Brian is a very, very sick man.
I hear voices. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to scare you away.
The talking in your head, that's part of the song?
Jesus Christ.
Part of the music.
You are not hungry. You think you're hungry.
Stop! Stop!
Ryan, time for your pills. Come on.
I may not.
I need you to report to me your thoughts, your feelings. His thoughts, his feelings. I'm giving you unprecedented access.
He's my legal guardian. He's protecting me.
No, he's over-medicating you.
Can you swim?
Be able to see you anymore.
You can't do that, Gene.
Yes, I can.
I have to say to myself 5 times a day, I love you.
Does it work?
I don't know. Sometimes I wish I had somebody else to say it to.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
I do not want to be one more person who wants something from you. So I'm going to walk away.
Why can't I be with her, Gene?
For the same reason, man, that you cannot be with anybody.
God only knows what I'd be.
I'm gonna beat this, and I'm gonna beat you!
You need to get back to your life. You and me, we're gonna walk out of here right now, and everything will change.
I was sitting in a crummy movie with my hands on my chin.
Thank you.
Oh, the violence that occurred seemed like we never win. Love and mercy, that's what you need tonight. So sitting in my room and the news came on TV. A lot of people out there hurt, and it really scares me. Love and mercy, that's what you need tonight. So standing in a bar and watching all the people there, all the loneliness in this world, well, it's just not fair. Love and mercy to
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round,
I get around.
My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone.
I get around.
Cause it's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, cause it wouldn't be right to leave your best girl home on a Saturday night.
I get around,
round, 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 I get around.
Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around. Get around, round, round, I get around.
Without you.
right. It's flick number 4 from 2014. It is Love and Mercy. It's the story of Brian Wilson, the leader of the Beach Boys. In the 60s, he's struggling with emerging psychosis, and he attempts to craft his avant-garde pop masterpiece, Good Vibrations. So it covers him in the 60s, and it also covers him in the 80s. Paul Dano in the 60s and John Cusack in the 80s. In the 80s, he's a broken, confused man under the 24-hour watch of this shady therapist named Dr. Eugene Landy, who is played by Paul Giamatti, who's always fantastic. So you got Paul Dano, John Cusack, both excellent. And Elizabeth Banks plays Brian's future wife, Melinda Ledbetter. Just a wonderful movie. It says a lot about mental illness. It goes through the whole process of being an artist and how to create. It's just amazing following this guy. Truly one of the geniuses in rock and roll. And you really wonder what else he could have done if he stuck around with the Beach Boys and he didn't lose all those years basically being misdiagnosed and heavily medicated for years and years until his wife basically fights Dr. Eugene Landy and gets him free. The soundtrack is a bit odd. The soundtrack has regular Beach Boys songs as well as Brian Wilson, but this guy, Atticus Ross, I'm playing some of it in the background. This is a track called Losing It. So they're having dinner, and Brian Wilson is just kind of like focusing on all the noise at the table. So it's kind of like a sound collage of Beach Boys music and things that are going on around them. Kind of like getting inside Brian Wilson's head during the movie. Kind of interesting. And these are all interspersed between Beach Boys tracks on the soundtrack. Play a little more of the soundtrack here and I'll be right back.
Stop!
Here's Good Vibrations.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. Good vibrations.
vibrations a half man wither. Gotta keep those lovely vibrations a half man wither. Gotta keep those lovely vibrations.
So Love and Mercy is directed by a guy named Bill Pohlad and is produced by him as well. What's interesting about him is his dad owned the Minnesota Twins baseball franchise from 1984 until his death, and his brother, Jim Pohlad, took over as team's principal owner of the Minnesota Twins. So this guy's a film producer and director. He only directed one other movie before this one. It was something from 1990. And he read a biography on Brian Wilson. He was reading about the Pet Sound Sessions, which was the name of an album that the Beach Boys had put out. Brian Wilson was listening to the Beatles. John Lennon's Girl, in particular, from Rubber Soul, sounded a lot like the harmonizing of the Beach Boys. And then he was listening to Revolver, and he said, I want to do something better than the Beatles. He was trying to get all the rest of the Beach Boys on board with that, and he's slowly losing his mind. Basically, he has a panic attack on a plane, and he stops touring with the band, and they just work in the studio. So it covers a lot of the studio recording methods of Pet Sounds, with Paul Dano as young Brian Wilson, and then years later, you see John Cusack when he's meeting his wife, and he's being bullied pretty much by Paul Giamatti's character, Dr. Eugene Landy. It is a great, great movie, though. It says a lot about mental illness, the creative process, a lot about the music industry as well. And it's very clever. It's done very clever, the way that they have two leads playing one guy, also getting into his mind. And it was released by Lionsgate. Has running time 121 minutes, so 2 hours and a minute. Budget was $10 million. It made $28.6 million. It has a rating on IMDb of 7.4, which is relatively high, and a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 91%. It was nominated for a couple of Golden Globes, including Paul Dano's performance, as well as Best Original Song, which Brian Wilson did for the movie. Brian Wilson thought it was a little dark, but he liked it a lot. Mostly his wife. She ended up doing a lot of the work with the filmmakers, Melinda Ledbetter. Apparently, when Brian Wilson saw the movie, he started to believe Paul Giamatti was the actual Eugene Landy and felt absolutely in fear for a number of minutes. There's a moment where Brian Wilson asked for a grand piano in his house, along with a bunch of beach sand, so they show him creating on the piano in his living room. And there's nothing else in the room but a piano and beach sand. It's pretty cool. Apparently, there was going to be a third era which focused on him in bed in the 70s when he was really sick, and it was supposed to be Philip Seymour Hoffman that they were trying to get to do that, but they decided to just have the two Brians instead of three Brians. Paul Dano gained 35 pounds to play Brian Wilson, eating 4,500 calories a day. Claimed to have torn a ligament in his knee playing basketball due to the extra weight. I can understand that. Well, let's listen to one more from
Just Driftwood, floating on the sea.
Love and Mercy. And then we'll move on to number five here. The show is Watch This with Chris Earle on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to your Freeform station. Here with you until 7 p.m.
Just driftwood, floating on the sea, searching for the me and all that I have known to be. Thank God that you noticed me and brought back harmony to this lonely soul. Oh, it's a revelation. I feel alive again. There are no limitations with love. The day you said that you'd be mine, see cloud nine, 'cause I was flying over it. I wasted so much time running circles in my mind. I couldn't hear my heart calling out for you. There's only one kind of love, the kind that I've been dreaming of. Don't you know it's a conditional? But you've gotta have an open heart. I nearly failed the test of time, but now that you are mine, girl, I'm here to stay. Oh, it's a revelation. I feel alive again.
Tanks have stopped.
Why?
Why waste precious tanks when they can pick us off from the air like fish in a barrel?
There are 400,000 men on this beach.
we going?
Dunkirk.
I'm not going back.
There's no hiding from this, son. We have a job to do.
If we go there, we'll die.
See it from here.
What?
Home.
All right, the soundtrack is by Hans Zimmer, who makes great, great soundtracks. It's so creepy. It's just, there's actually a little documentary out there on how Hans Zimmer creates tension in Dunkirk with his soundtrack. It's just these sounds that escalate, and they never really reach their high point where you're expecting it to have some sort of release. It just never happens. This entire movie is tension. You got the clocks in the background. It's a great, great movie. It was my favorite movie of last year. I thought it was so much better than Shape of Water and Billboards and all the others from last year. But it did not win. It's a war film written, directed, and produced by one of the great, great directors we have right now, Christopher Nolan. Depicts the Dunkirk evacuation of World War II, has an ensemble cast including Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy, Kenneth Branagh, Mark Rylance, a whole bunch of others. It's a British, American, French, Dutch co-production distributed by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was the big studio of the day. I think three of the five I had were Warner Brothers movies. Dunkirk portrays the evacuation from three different perspectives: land, sea, and air. A lot of people were, I don't even want to say a lot, but some people said that they were kind of confused by the use of time in the movie, but I didn't have any problems with it. It has very little dialogue. Nolan sought instead to create the suspense from the cinematography and the music. And I'll tell you, the music is haunting and creepy and, like I said, just super, super tense. I thought this was a fantastic movie, and it's one of my five flicks for today. The filming began in May of 2016 in Dunkirk and ended in Los Angeles in post-production. It has a lot of practical effects and employed thousands of extras as well as historic boats from the evacuation and period aeroplanes. Tom Hardy's up in the air, and he's pretty fantastic. Mark Rylance is from the sea, and he's with Cillian Murphy, who has managed to get out of Dunkirk, and he has to go back because he's picked up on a boat, the sailboat that's going back to pick up people. Just amazing. One of the things that I thought was really cool is The Greatest Hour is like a companion piece to this, which was the Gary Oldman, Winston Churchill biography. Kind of covers what's going on in England during the time of what happens with Dunkirk here. It received 8 nominations at the Critics' Choice Awards, 3 at the Golden Globes. At the Academy Awards, it had 8 nominations, including Best Picture and Best Director, which was Christopher Nolan's first Oscar nomination for directing. Budget was around 100 to 150 million. I love how they're like, 100, 150 million, whatever. Warner Brothers is just like putting all their dough into this. It's like, maybe 100, maybe 150. You know what? It made $527.3 million. Probably the newest movie I think I've had on Watch This. But I think it's great, and I think the soundtrack's fantastic. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the soundtrack. to Dunkirk. And I'll come back and either talk about it some more, or we'll go on to Streaming Now. Coming up next on Watch This. So flick number five, Dunkirk from 2017. Mr. Derek Gary is here too.
Hello there.
Watch This. From Hear It Wow, and also from The Big Picture. When are we going to get Hear It Wow back? You going to do a little Hear It Wow?
You know what? There's a possibility it may happen in another week or so, and I'll talk about that at the start of The Big Picture tonight.
Very nice.
So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe. It really has a lot to do with what happens in the news cycle, because this time of year is generally quiet.
Like, sure.
August is usually super quiet, and there may be reasons for me to
take a spot. Maybe take next week's spot from me. You want to do? You want to take the watch this spot?
No,
from 5 to 7 next week?
I took most of last week off from work.
Oh,
I,
all right.
I barely got out of there tonight.
All right.
I barely got my hands on my free Slurpee.
There was free Slurpees today?
8 minutes. Where? 8 minutes left. 7-Eleven day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Free small Slurpee. There was one right in Medford Square across from the fire station.
Maybe I'll go there on the way home.
It ends at 7 o'clock, so you've got 8 minutes to go get your...
I'm not going
to
make it. No, I'll shell it a buck.
Yeah.
So this is the fifth of my five flicks today, Dunkirk. This was my favorite movie of last year. Was it yours?
I liked Dunkirk a lot.
Yeah.
I think my favorite movie of last year was probably Pan's Labyrinth.
The Shape of Water, Pan's Labyrinth too.
Yeah, yes, whatever.
Really?
Yes, The Shape of Water.
Was that your favorite movie last year?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I really liked Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, but not bad.
But it's the kind of movie that you see it once and you're like, all right, I've seen it.
Yeah, and I thought there were a lot of real conveniences in the plot.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of convenient things happening
but
in there.
But really well acted and a really well told story.
Yes.
In terms of like replay value, Hell or High Water is way better than Three Billboards.
Yeah, that was a great flick too.
That's what you could just toss on and be like, oh, here we go, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I love Dunkirk though. I just thought that tension through the whole movie is just prevalent, and Hans Zimmer, probably one of his best soundtracks.
Amazing. I got one big problem with Dunkirk.
What?
The cast doesn't talk that much.
Right. There's not a lot of dialogue.
The main actors all look almost identical.
Okay. Yes. And we talked about this a little.
And it's jumping around in time.
Uh-huh.
So I sit there and I watch it and I'm like, wait, which one is that one?
Right. So you were one of the people that was like, well, I'm trying hard to follow this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in repeat, I've only seen it the one time. I want to watch it again. But I think especially in the scene with the boat, when the boat's going underwater. Because there were some German soldiers, and you get kind of confused because they do look the same as the American soldiers.
It's like, who's who and what? Where are we in the timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Westworld season 2.
Oh, haven't finished it.
Used a very similar device. Well, if you've watched any of it, you know it uses a very similar device to Dunkirk, where the timeline is all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I liked about watching this season of Westworld is I could see those same sort of things that they did in Dunkirk, where it's like the camera pans by something and you remember it got there because of something that you saw earlier on.
Okay.
And you realize that the timelines are starting to converge. So it was, I liked Dunkirk. I liked it a lot. I didn't think it was bloody enough. That was one of my issues with it.
You need more blood. It was PG-13, I think, right?
Yeah. But my biggest issue with it was there were just a few points in the movie, probably around the end of Act 2, where I'm sitting there and I'm like, where are we? Who's that? Wait, which guy is this?
Mm-hmm. Let's do See It, Rent It, Skip It. Derek, you can do See It, Rent It, Skip It with me before
absolutely.
The big show?
I love that. I'll do this with you every week if you let me.
All right. Number 10, Deadpool 2 made $1.7 million over the weekend. 314.5 in total. It's been out for 8 weeks. I'm going to see it. I still haven't seen it
yet. Why haven't you seen it? I've told you. I saw it opening weekend. I told you to see it.
I like to see it with nobody in the theater, I think, so I can enjoy it more.
Go see it. There's a brilliant, brilliant twist in it if you've seen all of the trailers and previews and marketing for it.
Okay.
It is not the movie that you think it is.
And it's
fantastic.
And nobody spoiled it for me, so I think maybe I'll go see it tonight or tomorrow night. Won't You Be My Neighbor is number 9. It's been out for 5 weeks. I want to see it. I still haven't yet. I know you've seen this one. What did you think?
I loved it. It's a great story about a very fascinating man who is every bit as good as what we saw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I came away from that documentary wondering is, where the heck is Lady Amberlin?
I heard she was in it. Somebody else told me she was in it.
She's in it,
but not much.
In clips from the show.
Okay.
They don't actually talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
As near as I can recall, I don't remember seeing a new interview with her anywhere. And I'm like, where's Lady Amberlin?
It's getting such positive reviews, though. So you can't add any scandal to it.
It's great. The thing about it is it worth, if you don't live near one of the art house theaters that's showing it, is it really worth going out of your way to see it when it will be out on Blu-ray and digital in a few months and you can watch it at home?
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it on this one. You're just going to rent it?
I would recommend going to see it if it's convenient for you, or if you need a break from the nonsense that surrounds us on a daily basis.
Plus, I think it's important to promote that type of movie, which doesn't get promoted too often anymore, which is a documentary, and it's a feel-good movie, right?
This movie will make you feel good about people again.
That's good.
And
that's what we need.
That may be something you need right now.
I definitely need that. So I'm going to go see it on that one. So two see it so far. Tag made $3 million over the weekend, 48.3. Big skip it for me on Tag. How about yourself?
You know, Jeremy Renner broke both his arms making that movie.
Did he?
Yeah. And I got to have some level of respect for that, but no, it's home video.
Yeah. Is that why he didn't show up in Avengers? Because he was making Tag?
No, apparently he wasn't supposed to be in this one for reasons.
He's curiously missing. So is the Falcon. The Falcon's missing, too. He didn't show up in the Avengers.
I think he's in it briefly.
Yeah. Or did he die? I don't remember.
No, he's in it.
He's still there, right?
He was walking around on the exo legs the last time that we saw him.
Okay. Number seven on the list is Ocean's 8. I don't have any interest in seeing this one. Big skip it. I'm oceaned out.
Yeah, I liked the first one because it was just sort of a good, like, it's like lounge music, you know? And for the first time that you see that, it's great. I saw the second one. I was like, the first one was way better. Like, been there, done that. Don't need any more of these Ocean's movies.
I agree. Uncle Drew. I don't know anything about Uncle Drew, but it's been out for 2 weeks. And it's after draining his life savings to enter a team in the Rucker Classic Streetball Tournament in Harlem, Dax has dealt a series of unfortunate setbacks. It's got a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It's down as a comedy. You know anything about Uncle Drew? I'm going to skip it.
I know it's a basketball movie. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I hear it's funny, but not me personally. No, not gonna see that. Might catch it on cable somewhere down the road.
All right. Next one we got coming in at number 5, Sicario, The Day of the Soldado. I want to see this. I didn't see the first one. I'm going to rent it with this one.
I love the first Sicario. I've heard mixed things about this one. So I'm probably going to, this is probably a rent it for me.
Okay.
Because I don't see the time opening up to go and see Sicario.
All right. So I'm going on a rent it on that one as well. Purge, the first Purge. It's been out for a week. I don't know anything.